We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, Mark Sinorese, we're back. Back in the Eagles conversation in just one second. Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson both spoke today at the Combine. Just back on this Ben Simmons thing real fast, because Joe Giglio had sent Jack a text message. The nerve root impingement, which is what Ben Simmons has, and again, now Woj has it as well. Ben Simmons is going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks for nerve impingement in the lower back. Mm-hmm. Woj goes on to say there's little expectation he'll be ready to return in 2 weeks, but they're hopeful treatment can drive improvement.
Yeah.
But the Sixers are preparing to play without him. Yeah, I mean, that all makes sense. But the nerve impingement is what cost David Wright, former Met, his career. You remember he had the back problem. Jack, he was back on. He played a little bit, but not much after.
Wasn't nearly the same player. I mean, he tried to come back a couple times, and like his back just gave out every time.
So you know, we had said this is good news that it's not a stress fracture or anything like that. Maybe I spoke too soon. We'll see how it ends up playing out. But
yeah, it's never a good thing when your back is an issue. It just isn't. You're an athlete. He's a big man. At 6'10", 6'11", he plays at that size, and he's doing things that most 6'10 guys can't do. He just is. He's doing things that most 6'10", 6'11 guys can't do. And he's trying to do that in that framework of a body. And so who knows what type of stress he's putting on his back with the torque, and then the awkward shots he takes.
Yeah, he's not
the little
not
flipping up
shooter.
At the rim, right. And you know some of the angles he uses when he flips the ball up there. I you just don't know, man. You just don't know if the back ever gets corrected, and you can be the player that you were before that.
Right.
You hope it's nothing significant.
Here's now help me with this before we move on. Didn't they say he originally hurt himself in practice?
Yes.
Because Sham says that he sustained the injury. Did he re-aggravate the injury? Or
that's
is this
probably what they're trying to say now.
It got pushed to a new level.
That's what I'm saying. He may have hurt it worse by going out there in those little 5 minutes.
Yeah, remember, letting him play.
Remember, KD only had a calf strain. 3 minutes into that game, he had a torn Achilles. So he obviously made it worse by going out there to play.
Yeah, obviously.
Given the expectations heading into the season, which is turning out to be the most disappointing of the teams? The Phillies, Eagles,
Sixers. Yeah,
because you think they had real championship aspirations?
Because they haven't went forward. They went backwards. And Embiid went backwards. Simmons hasn't improved his jump shot. Tobias Harris was maxed out, and he hasn't shown you any reason to think that he's even close to that kind of a player. Al Horford's been a total freaking bust. Jimmy Butler went to Miami. Miami's better than you are. This has been the worst season of anybody. Like, the Phillies were disappointing, for sure. We were disappointed in that.
Yeah, but that may have been our own fault.
No, I agree with you, like, three-quarters of that. Yeah,
we created those expectations. Eagles and Sixers were legit. The only thing with the Eagles is they literally lost players. So that probably
– you can't deny the injury.
Yeah, that probably hurt them from being a championship team, and they still found themselves in the playoffs. Sixers are going to be in the playoffs. Problem is, no one thinks this is a championship team going into the playoffs. Like, we almost are just waiting for it to end. Is it going to be the first round or the second round?
What did James Ennis say prior to the season? They're going to
sleepwalk to the finals.
Yeah, sleepwalk.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear Howie from earlier today. All right, and he speaks, and then Doug speaks. It's the combine. We haven't heard him talk in a while, and you know Howie gave us some stuff, including seems like Jason Peters could be back as the starting left tackle next year, but he's also talking about building this team, cap space, what are they going to do? Here's Howie Roseman.
Yeah, I think the one thing we got to be careful of is the amount of cap room we have this year and then how it's affected next year and the years going forward, because we don't want to be in a position where we lose flexibility totally by doing that. So we're hopeful that if we go into the free agent market, that maybe we're signing guys that are more core guys than more one or two-year guys, and we look at it from building our team over a 2-3-year perspective as opposed to just kind of this one-year window.
All right, so that's Howie. Much different than Howie not that long ago. What did he say, Jack? Play that other cut for me.
The message to our fans, to our players, to our coaches, to everyone in this organization is our foot's always going to be on the gas. We're always trying to win. We're always going to try to put our best foot forward.
Well, Yeah, I mean, that was how many years ago, Jack? 2 years ago?
It was after the Tate trade.
Golden Tate trade. Yeah, and I get it. A lot of things have changed since then. But I guess even if they were going to do it, I didn't think the Eagles were going to more or less come out and say, yeah, we're also looking at next year and the year after and the year after, rather than just we're like Howie right there. We're always going for the Super Bowl. Not that you're going all in and you're trying to sign 30.
Yeah, but that's in season, John. That's in season. You're talking to a fan base that you just gave up a third-round draft pick for a veteran receiver that could walk at the end of the year. He's trying to convey to the fans that we're going to always be going for it.
But he did similar things last year, too, before free agency or after free agency. I mean,
we didn't say anything.
Yeah, but clearly the team has changed strategy in what they're doing going forward.
That's fine.
It's not the
I don't think anybody would be upset with that. I think most people would agree they've done it the wrong way the last 2 years. They just happened to get lucky one of the years.
So people are okay with essentially a rebuild, but a retool.
Well, that's what it is. It's a reload.
It's a reload.
Yeah, reload, retool.
So
yeah.
Jack, you're okay with it? I'm okay with a reload, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's what we do every year. You're in college. You don't come back with the same players every year. You're going to bring in new players. And this team had far too many older players, players that get injured, guys that can't play. Like, you aren't going to tell your fan base, or you certainly aren't going to go back with the same team again. You got to reload this thing. You got to retool this thing. But what they aren't doing is rebuilding. That's what they aren't doing.
No, they're not rebuilding.
So retooling, reloading, those are the words I want to hear.
But this is the first time this signals – I guess this just signals a strategy. I wasn't expecting to hear that today from Howie Roseman. Even if his actions were going to say otherwise, he's more or less laying out his plan, which was, we're looking to add to the core of this team. We're not just looking for guys that can come in for a year or two and help.
But I don't understand anything you heard that wouldn't be encouraging to you, or anything that you heard – that says we're not trying to win this year. Like, I didn't hear any of that in what he was talking about.
But they're not trying to win like they were trying to win the last 2 years.
Which is smart.
I'm not saying that it's smarter, that it's not smart. I'm glad that they're not bringing in older guys to try to win it again this year. I guess I'm just surprised that that's what they're going to do. 888-729-9494.
That they're not bringing in older guys?
They're not putting their foot to the gas?
Yeah, no, I'm just
see, that's see, here's where you're gonna have trouble making that case, because if they go out and sign a 26-year-old Amari Cooper, what would that symbolize?
Well, it would symbolize somebody that they feel like is gonna be here for the next 5 years and can help them right now.
Well, you just went out and signed the top free agent market outside of the quarterback market. So you don't do that if you aren't trying to improve your chances of winning immediately. Like, the money you're going to have to give up for the talent that you're bringing in says you're trying to improve your chances to win now.
Yeah, no, I know, but, like, there's a difference between doing that, adding to your team, and then really going for it, right? Like, adding
– for Amari Cooper, that's – I don't know how much more
– But adding a 31-year-old cornerback because you realize that your corners aren't good enough and you want to bring in guys that can play for a year or two. It didn't seem like when Howie
And they
was
still
speaking,
may do that.
Well, they might do that. 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Phone calls, Ellsworth in Allentown. Ellsworth, go ahead. How are you?
How you doing, guys? Long time.
What's up, Ellsworth?
before I get to the Eagles, let me just comment on the Ben Simmons report. One thing we got to remember is when back injuries are always, you know, something you got to worry about. But the difference between Ben and David Wright is a significant age difference, and hopefully that will help
yes.
his recovery.
Yep.
So yes. just going forward, hopefully that works out. Now, my take on what Howie Roseman said, and I'm leaning towards Ike's side, and I'll explain why. To me, when somebody talks about a window in sports, they're talking about years that you have, that you feel you have a good opportunity to win a championship. And I think that's what Howie's saying. We're not going to sign the older players like we did last year. We're going to build something that's going to give us that window of 3 years. And to go beyond that, you know, could be a little ridiculous to talk that far down the road. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why he's talking about the next 2 or 3 years. So, and he's also saying that the GM speak, which was what Ike addressed, is he's letting them know that he's not doing a John Middleton and saying we're going to spend stupid money. He's saying we're going to be very diligent with our assets, being our salary cap, our draft picks, et cetera, to make sure that we position ourselves not only for next year, but for the years after. And
right, that's not what they've done the last couple of years, Ellsworth. I guess I was just surprised that that's where we were, because I heard not that long ago that you don't waste Carson Wentz; you go for it every year, especially when he's not making as much money as he is right now. Right, so for them to come out, and again, maybe he's just saying this, and they're going to change something when free agency actually starts. But it looks like right now that they're willing to add pieces to the team. But
I mean, they could have did the whole star hunting thing that Brett Brown did and come back with nothing. They could have did that. I mean, they could have did that. They tried that. You know, so that's obviously not a great strategy to come out. Or let everybody know you're willing to spend a ton of money and you're going to do this. Like in football, you don't want to do that. You don't want to give away your strategy. Like if they can, they want to be able to get these guys on the type of deals that are team-friendly deals, or at least where they feel comfortable. And I think, again, it always goes back to the player. I'm okay with paying Amari Cooper franchise receiver money. I'm not okay paying a number 3 wide receiver franchise receiver money, or some older A.J. Green wide receiver franchise receiver money.
Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged in 2020, shop Mark's Jewelers' great collection of diamond engagement rings at their flagship store in Montgomeryville or online marks-jewelers.com. So I guess, I mean, Jack, the question could be Eagles fans are okay with this being a retooling season. Because that's what kind of what it looks like right now, that this is going to be a good team. This is still expected to be a playoff team, but this is, I mean, can we classify this as retooling, at least before any of this starts? It seems like that's the direction it's going. That's what I got from Howie today.
Reload.
All right, and Eagles fans, you're fine with that? 888-729-9494.
We need to reload. We need better players.
Oh, man, that is not what I heard over the last however many months.
What do you mean? That's all we've been talking about is getting better players. I've been saying get better players since September.
Yeah, but getting younger.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey was a young player. Yeah. Like, yeah, I want good young players. Yeah. Players that I can lock up. I can lock up Jalen Ramsey for multiple years because he's only 24 years old. Yeah.
All right. I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing that everybody's fine with a retool. Let's go to Dave in Swedesboro. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? Listen. I got something for you. I have a question for you. Is Howie good at the draft?
No.
Well, he hasn't been lately.
Exactly. That's my issue. Who's going to help him? Who did we hire to help Howie? You know, it's unbelievable. We're going into this cold again, you know?
Well, listen, to be fair, Miles Sanders was a good draft pick. He had a good first year. Ortega Whiteside wasn't, and now I'm scared to death of Andre Dillard.
Well, Miles Sanders was sort of an obvious draft pick.
He was. You're right.
Yeah. I agree. But everybody else, look at the past 3 or 4 years. We have not drafted well. We need to get in some good young players, like you said, with a few years on the contract. And he needs help with the draft. I'm scared to hell with him doing the draft without any help.
I am too. What? Yeah, which is why you're right.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah, which is why I want him to spend money in free agency, because I can. It seems like they have a better idea of players that are already proven that can play. Like, if you're bringing back Jason Peters, think about this. Think about this. There's a chance they may bring back Jason Peters for whatever reason. To me, that's an indicator as to what they think about Andre Diller right now. The fact that we're talking about wide receiver being the number one priority for this team, not one, possibly two, after you just drafted Ortega Whiteside in the second round last year. Oh, by the way, the year before that, or was it 2 years before that, you drafted two receivers, Shelton Gibson and who am I forgetting? There's another one.
Yeah.
There's another young guy they drafted. They drafted a couple young receivers. Mac Hollins. That's who it was, Mac Hollins. Third, fourth round pick. So, like, you went after these guys, and we're still talking about spending money on receivers, right? You drafted Andre Diller in the first round. We're still talking about bringing Jason Peters back. So
that's a real issue.
Like, yeah, you drafted Ortega Whiteside. We're still talking about receivers. You brought in DeSean Jackson. We're still talking about wide receivers.
Yep.
You guaranteed Alshon Jeffrey $26 million. We're still talking about needing wide receivers. You traded for Golden Tate. We're still talking about wide receivers.
Yeah, I it seems like we've been talking about wide receivers in this town for 20 years.
Ever since Teola.
Well, you had a couple years with Deshaun,
yeah,
and
Deshaun
Macklin.
And Macklin, but still, yeah.
You still didn't have that bell cow that you're like, you know what, put him in the 8 years, he's going to catch 100 balls a year, you don't have to worry about it, you're going to have to pay him big money. You haven't had that forever.
Yep.
JB in Chestnut Hill. JB, how are you?
I'm average, boys. How are you guys?
I'm good,
well,
man.
I'm a little better than average, JB. What's happening, though,
brother? We got a retooling football team in town. It's going to be fun to watch them rebuild, and, you know, it should be a good year.
How about this? How about I wordsmith it a little bit for Howie?
We got it.
We're gonna solidify the team this year, because we're not in a rebuilding year and we're not in a retooling to scare people. We're solidifying the team. We have a core that's good. This is the time where you're gonna strike with Carson for the next 5 to 7 years. So you're gonna solidify this team with a young, you know, if there are free agents, it's gonna be, you know, we know Howie loves the big bang in the off season. You know he's going to get somebody. Whether it's, you know, I don't know, maybe he goes linebacker or he goes Amari Cooper.
Or
DN,
or he goes defensive end. Yeah, yeah.
Right, or DN. So
or he goes Malik Jackson, and he doesn't get any of the other guys like he did last year.
Hey, Malik. Yeah, but the problem with Malik Jackson was it wasn't anyone's fault but Malik Jackson's health and the fact that it sounded like his doctors were even more shady than Eagles doctors. Right? Like, he was like, hurt, not hurt. Like, hey, maybe I'm hurt. Like, hey, make sure you pay me and I'll get back to you and let you know if I'm okay. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe there's some more due diligence that'll be done in the offseason for any players coming in. But that being said, I think we go with the term solidify if we're going to have an optimistic outlook, because the team is solid. There should be no reason why they're not at the top of the NFC East. And since this week is the Underwear Olympics, I'll give you three or four guys that I think, that pop out this week for you guys in a very needy position, because Howie was talking about we need to draft players that are impact, that we can, you know, obviously we're interpreting, reading the tea leaves, saying we need to draft players on the cheap that can make an immediate impact. So I think whether it's a second round, and don't be stunned if they do make a deal for Cooper and they go linebacker round one. I know it's crazy, but second, third round guys, watch Zach Bond, watch Patrick Queen, watch Malik Harrison from Ohio State, and this little-known guy, Logan Wilson from Wyoming. Keep an eye on him this week just to see if they build any fodder for their draft stock. And those are like the guys that we get some immediate impact, you know, for a couple bucks.
All right, draft guy. Goodbye, JB. Logan Wilson, huh?
Yeah.
No way.
Well, who is he?
Sounds like a shortstop.
Oh, he's a linebacker. See, JB has a linebacker agenda because he brought up a linebacker. He also says, oh, they could use it in the first round. First round linebacker, Ike? Eagles?
No.
Would you? Like, I got maybe the most important question I've ever
asked.
Can't
even get him to take a running back in the first round. You think he's going to take a linebacker in the first round?
I've got the most important question I've ever asked you, Ike.
What's that?
Would you rather trade up in the top 10 to get Jerry Jeudy or Isaiah Simmons?
Ooh, how about that? I love Isaiah Simmons, too.
That dude is
multiple
perfect.
Reasons, yes. He's what I wish I was as a player back then.
I mean, honestly.
He's what I wish I was as a player back then.
Maybe if there's a guy, and I've seen him going as high as 7.
Oh, Isaiah Simmons, probably the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah, but that was the
– Well, Chase Young.
But one of the guys –
Oh, yeah, Chase Young. I forgot about Chase Young.
One mock draft I looked at had –
Chase Young is the best defensive player in the draft,
the Eagles trading up to 10 and grabbing Simmons, which is just like my reaction was, nah. Like, they're not trading a second-round pick.
They're
going to
trade up to take a linebacker? Nah.
I mean, I'm not saying I would hate it.
No, I would.
Well, we need a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, take a linebacker for what? For him to do what?
He's more than just a linebacker.
What is linebackers doing this defense?
Yeah.
What are you going to trade up to get a linebacker to do what?
If Schwartz was somewhere else, it might make sense, right? Yeah, I mean.
It doesn't make sense to take a linebacker in the first round unless he's Lawrence freaking Taylor or somebody.
And I've seen people saying that Carolina may take him to kind of replace Kuechly. You go from one great linebacker to the next great linebacker for him.
I don't know what he is.
He's like a souped-up mouth.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he's a linebacker. Kuechly was a linebacker in college. This kid has played everywhere. Safety, defensive end.
6'4", 230.
He changed the NFL?
Yeah, he's a hybrid player.
Yeah, he's just all over the field. Yeah, he just becomes like athlete.
You find a way to work him into
somebody takes him. They know exactly how they want to use him.
Back to the phones. Jay, West Philly. Jay, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, man. Let me ask you, after playing football all these years, where hurts more, football, head concussions, or working with this dude every day?
Let me get back to you on that, Jay.
He didn't have many concussions, though, Jay. That's
like
the problem.
Working with him, they'll mess you up. You got to have quicker responses than messing with this dude. Avanti Maddox.
Yes.
You think you can play free safety? You think we can switch him to safety?
I do.
I think that's his rookie year, he did a good job.
Sounds like you got the head injury, Jay. He played his rookie year.
Oh,
he played safety.
Ain't nobody talking to you, man. Ain't nobody talking. No, but here's the thing.
Now, hold on. Now you're going to talk to me though. Now you're going to talk to me.
See, that's exactly why. What good is that?
No.
You can't call in and insult me, and then expect
I'm just not going to say anything.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Jay.
So I'm going to come back and at least have a little fun at your expense. Then you can continue the conversation if you like.
Say that to Embiid. See, you talk over everybody.
you're the guy from yesterday. Yeah, what would you like to? Hold on a second. What would you like to debate today?
I talked to you a couple weeks ago.
What would you like to debate today, Jay?
I'm talking about Avanti Maddox. I'm talking about Avanti Maddox.
Yeah, we already answered you. He played safety his rookie year, so we think he could go back, sure. What else would you like to debate?
You think he could cover that ground? I think that's our biggest problem is we have a playmaking safety. You think he could help the corners?
No.
I think he can. I mean, how good of a safety would he be? Would he last for 16 games? Avanti Maddox is so small. Earl Thomas isn't big. Well, he wasn't big when he first started. I'm not saying he's Earl Thomas. I'm just saying nowadays these safeties, like Honey Badger isn't a big guy. He isn't big. He isn't Malcolm Jenkins size playing safety.
No.
Honey Badger is more of a free safety that covers a lot of ground. He's a playmaker. You don't have to be a big hitter in today's football. You don't. They penalize you for being a big hitter. So – yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with Avanti Maddox, man. They may have Jalen Mills playing safety. I don't know.
No.
Jalen Mills could be playing corner.
He could be
playing corner.
No, I agree with you, Ike. He could be playing corner. I actually think Avanti Maddox will be the safety next year because, I mean, it didn't seem like when he played in the slot he was very good this year. It seemed like he took a little bit of a step back as far as being a guy that they're interested in having out in the field a lot.
And let me just throw this out there for the third year in a row. There's another player that was either a low draft pick, undrafted free agent. They came out of nowhere, contributed. We pumped him up all offseason. It's not the same the second time around. don't know how many times we got to keep saying that. It's not the same. And that's why I'm saying we would be silly going into next year penciling in Greg Ward as if he's a starting wide receiver in this league. No, you made Greg Ward come back and earn his keep this season.
No, you should draft the guy that you think is better
right
than
Greg Ward. Yeah. Draft KJ Hamler, a real slot receiver, or outside guy, DeSean Jackson. I'm just saying, we can't have it. I mean, much as I love Corey Clement, there was his rookie year, and then there was the second year.
Well, and there's been since.
And then there was no third year.
Yeah. Yeah, but
he was a major contributor to the Super Bowl team.
Avante Maddox will be, I think he's going to be considered for the safety job. You know, they'll probably draft somebody. They may bring in a veteran. I don't know.
Cravon LeBlanc.
LeBlanc may be your slot guy. They may sign a true slot guy. Who knows at this point? Got a door and window. Extended their big winter sale for one more month. Receive 40% off all windows and doors for the month of February. Call them. Got a door and window. 877-GO-GOTTA or visit GOGUIDA.com. Do we have some Jason Peters here? Because Dennis wants to talk about it. Give me a Jason Peters. So Howie and Doug spoke earlier today. Both spoke about Jason Peters. Ike, were you surprised that this was kind of the answer? I would, in my head, I would just assume that he's a first-round draft pick. He showed them enough to where Andre Dillard.
Yeah, I'm like everybody else. You draft a guy in the first round, you expect him to play.
He better be playing in the second year.
That's what you expect.
So let's do Howie first on Jason Peters.
Have you made a decision about Jason Peters and going on to Dillard?
Yeah, I think as it pertains to all of our free agents, you know, I think it's important that as we go through this process, we keep an open mind with everyone and try to figure out as we get more information. A big part of this week is accumulating information. That's what we'll do here. You know, obviously when you're talking about Jason Peters, you're talking about a Hall of Fame player, a Hall of Fame person, someone who's very special to us and, you know, played at a really high level last year. So we'll go through all those decisions this week, and that'll kind of be my stock answer as it goes to every free agent we kind of talk about here.
Have you learned, though, with players of that magnitude, I guess, in the franchise's history, that you kind of have to deal with it a little differently than other players?
Well, there's no question. When you talk about guys that are historic players in the National Football League, guys who are going to the Hall of Fame, guys who are going to the Eagles Hall of Fame, those guys are special people and special players, and you don't have a lot of those during the course of your career. And so you try to make decisions first that are best for the football team, and at the same time have respect and appreciation for what guys have done and what guys have done going forward and are going to be part of your organization for a long period of time.
All right. Let's hear Doug talking about Jason Peters. Here it is.
Do you want to say that Uecker's back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I said the same thing about Darren Sproles. Heck yeah.
He did last year.
Yep, and they told you about the running backs.
Yeah. And it didn't work out, by the way.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
But it told you what they thought about the running backs.
Yes.
And that was before they had – when he was asked about Darren Sproles last year at the Combine, you didn't have – Jordan Howard here, and you hadn't drafted Miles Sanders.
Right.
So he put his foot in his mouth by saying, hell yeah, he wanted him back.
Ooh, boy.
And you wanted him back, and you brought him back, even though you had two guys on your roster that were younger and better. And I'm not even mentioning Boston Scott, who was on the roster as well, or Corey Clement. But you wanted to have Darren Sproles back. Like, these are the things you can't keep doing. These are the things you can't keep doing, and then you get to September and October, and then you're scrambling to fill holes because an older player can't finish a season. Like, Darren Sproles didn't finish a full season since, what, 2016?
It's been a while, yeah.
2015? And you were still talking about bringing him back? Like, you can't do this with Jason Peters. This isn't showing disrespect to Jason Peters. And quite frankly, this isn't – I don't know if anybody's out there saying, oh, Jason Peters played great last year, man. Why would you get rid of him? You need to make him your starting left tackle. No, this is more or less, the other guy's not ready. I don't think we can afford to let Jason Peters go yet. There's a difference.
So you think that's what it is? You think it's you think it's Dillard and
did
it's
you
not.
Watch Jason Peters play this year?
I did.
Were you clamoring for him to be the left tackle next year?
I was not, no.
Okay.
I just wonder if it's a like with Sproles, it feels like it was bigger than the act. It was like,
no, it was out of desperate. It was because they didn't have any other running backs.
Or I mean, and I also thought with Sproles, he was just they love him and they want him to come back. And Doug just loved him so much. Remember when Sproles gets in the game, mm-hmm. immediately he overuses him.
What was that, the Seattle game where he threw it to him three straight times?
Yeah.
Before half,
he can't help himself.
It was awful.
With Sproles.
Yeah.
I worry about Doug wanting Sproles back this year.
Yeah, and these are the things that when we're in the offseason where I'm like, you know what, man, this isn't about respecting the player, yada, yada, yada. Like, Jason Peters, he's been around the game long enough. He understands football. He understands the business. If Andre Dillard was ready to be your left tackle, this wouldn't be a discussion. It wouldn't be a discussion. Just wouldn't be.
Yeah, it would have been an easy –
that's why you
an
drafted.
Easy question
that's why
to,
you drafted
to answer.
Him. I mean, that's why you drafted him, because you wanted him to be your left tackle. Now, they may still feel that way in the future, but bringing the Peters back, and they haven't done it yet, but it lets you know they haven't clearly said, we're going to move on.
Wouldn't you want to show your young first-round draft pick confidence by saying, no, this is his?
Yes, that's what you would want. Because
he was an understudy last year.
Because he's the guy who has to be on the field. This isn't about instilling confidence in Jason Peters. This is about instilling confidence in the guy that's supposed to protect your franchise quarterback's blind side for the next decade. Like, that's what it's about. Now, again, what it says to me is they're a little shaky on Andre Dillard.
Let's go to Dennis. Dennis in Horsehead, New York.
Horsehead?
Dennis.
I never even heard of that.
Where's that, Long Island?
No, it's way upstate.
Oh,
basically, not that close. I'm actually close to the PA border.
Oh, okay, got you.
So basically, but it is considered New York. You know?
All right, I got you, man. What's going on?
But basically, what I wanted to talk about was how you guys were talking about Howie, and he's not downplaying bringing back Peters, but the idea to keep Peters maybe because they're probably going to let Vitae go, and then, you know, Dillard becomes that swing tackle. What do you guys think of that?
So you drafted him in the first round to be a swing tackle?
No. No, and I've seen enough of him swinging at right tackle not to put him back there, Ike.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, we don't even want him at right tackle.
What, he get benched and a half?
Yeah.
Well, he almost got Carson
right
killed.
Yeah, it was awful. Yep. But also, like, if you bring back Jason Peters, like, he's not going to be on the bench.
You're bringing him back to start.
Yeah, he's coming back to start.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's not coming back to back up Andre Dillard.
Player coach?
No. Well, I mean, no. Jeff Stoutland is here. We don't need another offensive line coach. But he almost is a player's coach, I guess.
Did you see the end of the Amazon Prime show?
Right, yeah.
Where he told Carson, like, hey, stop throwing the ball over. And then Carson's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
He told Jake Elliott to stop missing field goals?
Yeah.
Listen, I might be in on backup player coach Jason Peters.
But didn't he say at the end of the season that he wants to play? If I remember the soundbite,
he wants to set a precedent, right?
He more or less said.
We talked about that, yes.
He more or less said that he understands what's going on here. Mm-hmm. You understand the business of it. When you draft somebody in the first round and it's going into a second season and you're in the final year of a contract and you're 38 years old or whatever, the writing's on the wall that you're going to have to go elsewhere if you want to play. And he seemed to indicate in that cut that that was something that he wanted to do, that he still wanted to play. If he wanted to come back and just be a member of the Eagles organization and be a part-time starter, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I don't think he wants to do that.
You think a guy who's made $100 million is playing for part-time
money? No, he's a Hall of Fame.
No. Yeah, I'm just talking about the financial part of it.
Right.
See, that's the other part. You're not paying him league minimum.
No.
Exactly. So you're going to pay him, whether it's through incentives or what have you, $10+ million to be your left tackle.
888-729-9494.
He's not playing for league minimum.
He's not.
Yeah.
He's playing for at least a couple of million, like you said.
A couple of million.
Well, he didn't make that much. I forget what he made this year.
He played every game. They just made it incentive-based.
Yeah.
They made his contract incentive-based.
No, you're right. He would get a lot of incentives.
Yeah, as long as he finished games, started games.
Which I guess he did this
year.
Yeah,
he started all 16, I think.
Coming back, more phone calls. Also, today was a pretty big deal in the history of Philly sports and the Cowboys Wait till you hear this. That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is America's number one online sportsbook for a reason. Now, they got all the bets you could want. They've got a great, easy-to-use app, new promotions every day, and once you win, they get you your cash back fast. Now, if you've been holding out on trying FanDuel Sportsbook, now's the time, because right now FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users their first bet risk-free. Now, that means you can place any bet within 7 days of signing up, and FanDuel Sportsbook will refund you up to $500 in site credit if you don't win. Now, Philadelphia tried to make us sweat that game out last night. Thankfully, they pulled away in the fourth quarter in that game. But I got a good one for you tonight. How about this? Battle in the Eastern Conference in the National Basketball Association. Between the top two seeds, Milwaukee and Toronto. This game is in Toronto, going up against the best team in the NBA. Toronto is a one-point favorite. Why? Because Milwaukee played on the road last night in Washington and had to win in overtime. I think it was double overtime, by the way. Give me Toronto -1 at home tonight against the best team in the NBA. Now, to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android and be sure to use promo code Ike so they know that we sent you. That's promo code Ike, that's I-K-E, to get your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.